Owen, a week now since the Australian game. You've had a week to reflect on it. What was it like standing in the sideline and seeing those things unfolding before you? Were you a bit amazed?
I was amazed, but not totally surprised, Weishi, really. I had gone through it before, back in 1984. I had seen it last year, and I thought it was going to be finished at this stage, but it was very disappointing to see it resurface again. The AFL, I believe, pulled the wool over the GAA hierarchy in this, really. Everyone agreed what went on in Melbourne last year wasn't acceptable. The AFL and the GAA met down in Dubai last year. New rules were drawn up to make sure that this, what happened out there last year, wouldn't happen again. They appointed the referees, and obviously they didn't get the rules implemented. When you have referees turning their back with fellas fighting, sure, they have to have lost the authority then. And they left players unprotected out in that field in that first quarter, and it's just not acceptable, I think, you know.
Would I be right in saying, Owen, all the same, that never in your wildest dreams did you expect to see things happening even before the game started, and then the stuff that was happening after the first game, which was very soft kind of a game, as people said, did you ever visualise what was going to happen?
Well, I believe the media, the Irish media, had a role to play in that as well. People, the first match was played in a better spirit, and because it wasn't a great game, media were shouting for a bit more fisticuffs and a bit. And tis unfair to be doing that and to be roiling the Australian team over. And they were one of the areas that were one of the people I would blame for what happened the second day. But at the end of the day, it is the AFL have to take responsibility. Obviously I'd have a biased opinion, but I believe that it was instigated. They targeted certain players. And after that first quarter, we had three players that were out of the game for 15 minutes, and we had three more who were out of the whole match. And the players in the papers themselves had documented that they were targeting Graham Geraghty, and no action taken against them by their AFL. So it was just not acceptable that players would be left unprotected there on the pitch.
You mentioned the referee zone, and even though a lot of people were talking about, and Sean Boyle pointed out the Australian referee, I must say here, after being even a referee myself, I must say the Irish referee didn't do himself any justice, and it was a bit foolish to change the Irish referees from one game to the other. McEneaney should have been left with the game.
We weren't even asked. We didn't know who we should go to. The support wasn't there with regard to the appointment of the referee. We were very happy with McEneaney. We knew he was strong enough and he was experienced. And I think what he would have learnt in the first match would have stood in the second half. And I guarantee you he wouldn't have stood by there. But look, even from the first match, Weishi, there was a number of decisions made that we picked out after that we wanted clarification on. And their referee just, at the end of the day, eventually just said he made mistakes, which is, all refs would make mistakes, but when you look at what happened again the second day, like, it was very biased refereeing, really, and I felt our referee wasn't strong enough. If he stopped the match, the other fellow left it play on, four or five fights going on at the one time, and no red card. Like, they have a lot to answer for there.
But Owen, you've been to Australia, you've played out there and you've seen Australian rules, you've known Ty Kennelly and you've been speaking to Ty Kennelly. Even what happened in Croke Park last Sunday week really wouldn't be acceptable before Australian rules game, because this started before the ball was even thrown in.
Yes, if it was in their own game, if that physical aggression and physical intimidation was in their own game, there would be some excuse for it. We had two players that have given a year, and Tyke has given 5 or 6 years, and he said that's not allowed. They do not behave like that in their game, because obviously the punishments are there. But why he can't figure out why they come over here, and when they're losing and need to get the advantage, that they become so aggressive, so physical, and so full of intimidation. It's just not acceptable, and it happens in GAA from time to time. Don't think that all our players were clean either, but all I can tell you is that we didn't instigate that. We knew well that we didn't want a physical aggressive match. We were quite happy to be left to have a test of skills, and they would obviously, a professional would obviously have the advantage if it comes down to the physical stakes.
I remember on seeing you play, and correct me if I'm wrong, was it in Cork that you played, and that was a kind of a battle, a brawl, but it went down as a brawl, but it wasn't as bad as this, and you were able to match yourselves with them fellas that time in 84.
I wouldn't agree. There was my recollection of 84, I played in two tests that year. I got a right hammering above in Croke Park. Not many of my colleagues, including Colm O'Rourke, could have come to my rescue. But no, in fairness, that time there was a fair level of aggression and fighting as well in the game. But there was an excuse for it then, because it was a new series, and obviously, like, there was going to be interpretations of the rules. But so many years later, it's just not acceptable. I thought last year there was a line drawn in the sand. Everyone knew what happened out in Melbourne was wrong. Poor sportsmanship, tackles, definite red card tackles, and levels of aggression that just shouldn't be in the game. And they got the chance this year to put it right, the AFL and the GAA, and I think they left the players very short.
Turning to the Graham Geraghty incident, Owen, from what I saw of it, he was tackled fairly, but, correct me if I'm wrong now, I did think that your man said, when he was tackling him, and in the course of the tackling, I did think he said, I'm going to make a job of this. He really kind of held on to him, and he really pinned him. Would that be a fair comment?
I don't know. I'd have to see it again on television. I haven't looked at it since. I'm going from memory, which often I think that you probably shouldn't comment on it unless you have really examined it in the video. I don't think that that was the worst thing that happened in the field that day. I feel in that tackle, it wasn't as bad. I don't think you could intentionally go when you tackle to put a fellow unconscious. You know, that would, I think it was a rare occurrence myself. The ball had been there previously. I just felt at the end he didn't get the last. There was a bit of intent there, but there was no doubt the tackle on Benny Coulter was a red card offence. There was no doubt what was done to Ty Kennelly was just wrong. When he was on the ground, a fella jumping in, one of his own clubmates, jumping in, knees into the ribs, knocking him out of the game. Absolutely not acceptable in any sport. So that is my opinion on it. And then they haven't three of our best players targeted to get involved in fighting so that they'd be put off as well. But look, as I said, that sounds like whinging now. I just want to clarify, I've always been a supporter of this, basically because I think the GAA game, Gaelic football, has got better because of it. I remember a time when the ball had gone into the crowd above in Croke Park and to take 45 seconds, nearly a minute, for it to be retrieved, which wasn't very good for spectators, whereas we'd learn to have extra balls behind the goals, put up the netting, we learn to have frees off the hand, which speeds up our game, and all this came from the experiment. So I'd be obviously slow in just getting rid of it, but it'll probably, I think it is, it's going to be got rid of, in my opinion, because trust was broken between the GAA and the AFL on this, and how that's going to be mended, I don't know.
I never saw Sean Boylan so incensed, and I've been watching him since the 80s, since he took over the Meath team. He brought the team in at halftime, and he said publicly, Owen, that he wanted to stop the team from going out for the second quarter. What was happening in the dressing room?
He was obviously disgusted. I think any Irish person watching that match was disgusted with the tactics before the throw-in, straight away. When you see five or six fights, they don't happen just like that. That is all pre-planned. And all I can tell you is that we weren't going looking for a fight. And obviously the players were told not to be accepting thrown around. You have to try and gain respect for yourself if the referees aren't going to protect you. And I think it was a big part in the losing of the game and then the winning of the game for them, because our players definitely went into survival mode. If you see aggression and violence like that, the body reacts to that, no matter what you say. The body reacts. You saw some brilliant footballers rushing everything and getting rid of the ball and not being able to kick points, 7 points in a whole match from the top forwards. That is because they were the level of arousal and the adrenaline was flowing, and there was an element of fear there, and they saw violence and their body reacted to that and they rushed everything.
I must say, Owen, when they came to Killarney, I was watching them on Monday in Fitzgerald Stadium before they played any game, and Colin Keyes at the Independent was with me, and we were standing on the sideline. And what I did say to him was, they were explosively fast and tremendously strong. They were way ahead of all players in that respect. There's a big gulf there, isn't there?
There is a big gulf, absolutely. You cannot compare an amateur to a professional. If they're training every single day of the week and twice, 3 or 4 days of the week, and getting their proper rest and no work, full-time job, pumping weight, there's no doubt. And they're actually, the shame in all this is that they're brilliant at this compromise game. And they don't need this level of violence. And I think the only hope we have in it is on a wet, windy day when they're kicking, this improves. But with a dry ball, and with the way they're so good at the handball, the fist passing and all that, that we're lucky to be able to compete with them.
What have you learned out of the whole thing yourself on, looking back, because of going through life, everything you do in life and everything in sport, you always learn something, something good and something bad, don't you?
Well, I gained an awful lot out of it. I made 4 great friends in the management. I've made some fabulous people, some fabulous players that'll be friends of mine for life. And the sad thing about it is that the Australian team and the Irish team didn't mix after it. There was no friendships there, which is a terrible thing. That if sport, that's not what sport is about to me. It is a sad part of the thing. It left a sour taste, really, the way it wasn't being beaten that left a sour taste. It was just the manner of it. We felt that there's a line that should never be transgressed in the sports field, and it was, they went beyond that line, and that was just a shame. But I totally enjoyed the experience. Sorry that I'm not getting my trip to Australia, but maybe you'd never know.
You'd never know. Our own Kerry players, Paul Gallivan, Aidan O'Mahony and Kieran Donnelly. Now, Paul and Aidan, they certainly didn't leave themselves down. I must ask you about the star, Kieran Donnelly. I was surprised, Owen, that he wasn't played full forward, played in a position where he could be used just to catch the ball.
Well, he was played in a lot of training sessions in that position, and he was played in the first test in that position. And it was a joint decision between the management that he had lost a bit of form since the All-Ireland. Obviously, they're celebrating, which is understandable. But look, Kieran was just unlucky to lose out. The 3 other fellas lost out for the first test. But all I can tell you is that all the selection, I'd stand over, everything was done as fair and as transparent as could be. And he was just unlucky. But look, in hindsight, it was a blessing that he wasn't there. I think, you know, he could very easily have got injured. And thanks be to God, Kerry will have the benefit of him next year.
Yeah. Just on that point, and I won't delay you, he's full forward now. He's even been compared with yourself, which is very unfair for him and very unfair for you too, of course. But he had a great year on, hadn't he? Great prospect. But not alone that, he's a fine fella. And he's 2 feet on the ground, which is a big thing.
Ah, he's a gorgeous young fella. Like, you know, I would have known him a little bit before the series and got to know him in this. He's a brilliant footballer, and he proved that. Like, you know, he did. I've never seen any one person dominate a championship in the way he dominated that and turned Kerry's year around. And the skill he played and the feeling and the goals he's got against good opposition, you know, it's just fantastic that he's a Kerry man, and I'm certainly looking forward to the next 10 years and seeing him repeating it.
Owen, turning to the Kerry job, you made it well known very early in the day that you weren't interested and you opted out very early. I presume it was time. You have a young family and you're a busy man. You have a big business going here in Tralee. Big undertaking. It will come around to you sometime, probably.
Well, one never says never, Rishi, being honest. But at this point in time in my life, I'm not in a position to give the commitment. I played football for a good few years from 77 onwards. I had a short break and then I went into management. I was involved with Cairns O'Reilly's for 7 years, and there were 7 fantastic years. But there comes a time, it's a huge, I don't think people realise the commitment that's involved there. And that's just, I've just experienced it at club level. But you could multiply it again by so much to be involved at county level. And I'm just not in a position to give that time to that at the moment. I have other things I have to do. And as I said, one never says never for the future. But I have given and got an awful lot, shall I say, out of football. And made lots of friends. And it is the beauty of the game, the friendships you make. And that's so important. But at this point, I'm just not in a position to leave my name go forward.
Finally, Owen, I was watching your club, Cairns O'Reilly's, winning the Minor County Championship, their first ever lately. They have a superb display. They were a wonderful team. My thoughts, really, watching it, you weren't there, you were with, but my thoughts were with John Dowling, was strange enough, because he did so much. Wouldn't he have loved to see ye winning that minor county championship. What does it mean to the club, and what did John Dowling mean to the club? What would this have meant to him?
Well, I must say my other club, Vale, are going well at the moment as well, which pleases me a lot. But Stranraer, John Dowling set the seeds for that win, have no doubt about it. You know, he has the structures put in place, the facilities. Now, it's a lot of other good men, but it was just a shame that he wasn't around to see that, like what it would have meant. Like, it is a fantastic achievement for a club team to win the minor at this day and age, really, where you're playing the pick of South Kerry in one match, pick of East Kerry in the other. And in fairness, the Crokes, fabulous achievement for them to get to the final as well. First time, I think, it was done in Stranraer. The Miners won the county championships, and I congratulate Ray, Ogie, all the lads, and not only that, but all the mentors down along that had this team from under sixes, eights, and they're the fellas that deserve all the credit for this, and especially the current management led by Ray Walsh there. Fair play to them. They put in a Trojan amount of work, and they got their rewards.
And you were lucky to get John Evans, a man that took over from you. John Evans, a very passionate man, great football man, honest fella, and he has brought you to, you're riding high in the top of the county league at the moment. Great prospects for your club one.
Oh, it is great, and it's very exciting, you know. Like, you're winning way more matches than you're losing, and I know that from John that the organisation is great, everything is there, you just need the players to perform, and he's done a fantastic job. Mikey Kane and CJ there with him, who have given years and years of service to the club. They were soldiered with me, and
decades,
exactly, and they're still soldiering there. And
they seem to be there for everyone.
But see, that's what the GA now, good men, like, you know, a club can't afford to lose good men.
Finally, I'll finish up with you. We're here in your office in the Irish Nationwide Building Society, right in the heart of Tralee. I was waiting for you there while you were a bit late coming in. You were delayed. The place is abuzz with excitement. There's all action here. You're very busy. They're looking for you here, left, right and centre. Business is booming here, on.
I think business is booming in all the financial services these days, and thankfully, the people, the GA people, and all the people of Kerry have supported me well over the years, and I'm very appreciative for that.
And why wouldn't they? You were the last man to score 3 goals in an All-Ireland final. Kieran Donaghy, are you listening? Owen, will the series continue or be discontinued? Last question.
I think there's a lot of talking and a lot of corrections to be made for it before you could honestly recommend it be continued. At this stage, my feeling is it won't continue, unfortunately, but I wouldn't give up on it being resurrected at some stage in the future.
Owen, as always, lovely talking to you.
Thank you, Weezy.